This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Sound Growler offerings as we talk about Half Acre, Hopewell, and preview some of the events happening this May. All that and more on this week's episode. These last 3 weeks of the week, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And he has resin.
And on the seventh day.
We are post-Easter, post-420, and it's still dank out there.
Man, you know, this is about the perfect Easter 420 beer, man. Yeah. This dude's got a pipe.
All right. This Jesus.
This
here
is resin art, man. Your boy, Cesar Borgia. This is Sound Growlers. He has resin, their 420 release, which happened to fall on April 20. We happened to fall on Easter Sunday this year.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's wild, man. Right. It's actually really, it's kind of cool art, though.
Right. I made it out there and picked up this bottle. We'll talk about that in a minute. We also have some cans of the Orange Haze, which we drank previously on the show when it was in the 16-ounce cans.
Oh.
And I believe the cans were orangier. For some reason in my head. I'd have to look back on our Instagram, but these are now 12-ounce six-pack cans rather than four-pack 16-ounce cans.
Orange Haze, man, the official beer of the Loose Key Studio. That's the colorway here, orange and black.
Like, look at how, with the He Has Risen and the Orange Haze, it's basically this skull smoking, and yeah, these are some dank-looking beers.
There's a theme here.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, we're going to sip on this. You already were drinking this.
I happen to have
both
it.
Of these.
Yeah, I happen to have it. You know, I don't know what else Sound Growler does, but they do that Orange Haze really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I always get that. And then, we had to get He Has Risen, you know. So, but that was it, just in and out. So I don't really have like a Sound Growler story.
Okay.
Because, yeah.
I made it out there. I took the trip out there.
You went out there.
I went out there. Well, first, on that same day, the Friday that this was released, I went over to Half Acre for their Daisy Cutter 10th anniversary event.
Decades.
Yeah. So we did lunch over there on Friday, and I was drinking the Smoking Daisy that was on tap, and not a smoked Daisy Cutter.
It's not.
It's their Smoking Gull, hazy pale ale mixed with Daisy Cutter, basically.
I was kind of hoping that it was
a smoked Daisy
Cutter. It was a Rausch beer.
Right.
That's what I was hoping.
No. But it was good.
Okay.
It was like a more tropical Daisy Cutter.
Right on. You know, they do a good job of, keeping Daisy Cutter. Because, you know, you look at now the 2009, right, for a Half Acre. And, you know, you at that point, Goose is the only one one of the few that are older is Goose. And they killed a lot of the beers that they first started with, right?
Right.
You know, I even think they killed Honker's Ale this year. Honker's Ale's like only draft only and only at their pubs.
Yeah.
So when you look at a beer like Daisy Cutter, like they did a good job of giving it tributes over the years, right?
And
variants. And
right.
Just keeping it alive. But it was a killer beer from the jump.
For sure.
But even their first three beers that were their core beers, what was it, Gossamer and maybe like a...
They had a brown ale.
What was a brown ale?
It was called Half Acre Brown.
Yeah, so even out of their core
beers.
But
it was like contracted.
Yeah, so Half Acre Daisy Cutter survived their first three beers.
Right.
It's impressive. It's impressive that it's lasted this long and that it's still this good and that everyone's still jacked about it.
Yeah. I saw Jonathan Surratt over there.
Right on.
And then Phil McFarlane. So it was pretty happening day over there.
Those are some Chicago beer vets right there.
And then I went next door to get my four pack, sold out.
Oh, so you're at Lincoln?
Yeah. So why? I made the mistake. I usually eat my lunch, have a beer, and then I go over there and pick up my beer as I'm leaving. It backfired on me this time. And the guy, You don't need to tell someone who just came over from, he didn't know where I was coming from, but like, we sold out 10 minutes ago, he says. And it's like, I don't need to know the time. Like, don't do that to me.
You were fucking around. Yeah. But it's such a big operation these days that I wouldn't have expected it to go. Even seeing it online, it's like, hey, we're out of four packs.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised by that because they do so much volume.
Right, because I've gone over there after work on Fridays for some of the releases, and they're available. But yeah, these four packs, it must not have been as big of a run, or the demand was way up there.
Now, there was a quad. I saw that. So the I want to say the four pack was Daisy, then like Galactic.
Right.
Right. And then Smoking.
No.
No.
Smoking wasn't in there.
I thought it was.
Oh, I didn't think
it
was.
And then the quad.
The quad.
I thought that was a four pack.
Maybe.
Did you try the quad? I guess that's where I was
going. I didn't try the quad. You know, it's lunchtime on a Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Not gonna dive into the quad. But someone else got regular Daisy, Smoking Daisy.
You're already drinking. You may as
well. Well, jeez.
I don't know. I don't see what the big. No. Just playing.
Nick's looking it up, double checking. I didn't think the Smoking Daisy was in the four pack.
Double Daisy. You're
right. Yeah, so it was Double Daisy, you're Daisy, right. Double Daisy, Galactic Daisy, and Quad Daisy.
You're right. Smoking was not part of it.
No. Yeah. So that's why I had to do the Smoking Daisy, because it was a draft only kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was good. So then that evening, I went out to Soundgrowler. I went across the town.
The whole region, man.
Yeah. I went out to Soundgrowler because I wanted to pick up this beer. I wanted to try this beer. I got there, I don't know, it was like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. It was packed. Like, and I was just by myself.
Yeah.
So I just go up bar, order a beer. I don't remember what I got, like one of their pale ales. And then I'm just kind of sitting. I like how they have their ledges with the windows. They're all like pad it so you can sit on them and put your beer on like a barrel.
They're like tufted leather. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there by myself, tufted. Just, you know, messing around on my phone, writing some stuff. And so I'm just hanging out, drinking some beers there. And it's getting rowdy in there. Like, just like,
they got a good space.
A lot of different people in there, a strange mix. There was a guy and a girl with matching buns.
What's a bun? Like the hair?
It's like a hair bun. A guy and a girl, they had a matching bun. So, I was just people watching.
You attempted to get your shears.
Yeah.
And chop his butt. Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple beers there. In hindsight, I probably should have just did the one, grabbed my bottles, and went over to Hale Store.
Right on.
But I did two beers there, grabbed my bottles, and went home.
Yeah, they lean heavy on the IPAs there. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
I like their space a lot too. It's one of the few spots I go to where I want to say like the front door is like full of stickers, right?
Yeah.
Like you got the handle and glass is like covered in stickers.
Yeah. And they're just blasting whatever metal they're feeling that night. They were selling shirts of the Hiez resin, which is a ridiculous shirt to walk around in.
The Bible thumpers are going to whip your ass.
Right. And then, that was my Friday. It's a pretty solid offering there.
Man, that's a proper Friday right there. Mm-hmm. My Fridays are usually low-key, like, you know. Try to go hard during the week, and then Fridays is like you coast.
All right. I just get it all done on Friday.
Yeah,
I get
busy on Friday, man.
Relax on the weekends, especially with Easter. You know, there's family time and hanging out with that.
Right on.
Saturday, I did pick up some cans of the new release from Energy City.
Okay.
They're Mango Lassi.
Mango Lassi. Now, these are probably two packs.
Two packs. So they're now doing two packs. So that's kind of what they want to do, and keeping the price point under $10.
Right on. Two pack tall boys in a can.
Yeah.
I dig it.
And Mango Lassi is pretty tasty. Uses cardamom in it, and it's got some interesting flavors. I have one more can. Maybe we'll open that up for a beer review here.
Sounds bizarre.
Yeah,
I'm curious.
Mm-hmm. But it was fun because I took it over to my mom's house. My uncle was there. He's a big Energy City fan. And we had three different offerings from Energy City. We had the Mango Lassi, the Mango Naui, and the Peach Naui.
Oh, right on.
So we were deep.
That's a crew that they work their way quite – they're very comfortable in the area of Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job of, like, adding – I love the whole spectrum of the ones they're doing.
Yeah, but that's s'more style, too.
Oh, yeah.
That beer. Whew, that beer's good.
Cheers to Bemiscuous, man. I walked in there one day and saw Energy City on the board, and before that, I had no idea who they were.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, they're doing some good stuff. So look for that. That Mangalassi isn't even out yet. It might be out by the time you listen to this, but it's coming out.
Shy Beer Guy on our IG was saying he likes the raspberry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I did try the raspberry.
All right, I haven't had the raspberry.
Yeah, the raspberry solid too.
Nice. Cool. What about you? You were drinking Sound Growler. You didn't really go hang out there. What else? What else did you get?
In and out. Open bottle to get the latest release from Phase 3. Which, of course, is Sean Moore's, or Sean the Brewer. Sean from Moore. I think his name's Sean Burns.
Okay.
I just called him Sean Moore. Yeah. This is third project. Schomburg, Graham, Moore, and now Phase 3.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah. These were mixed four packs of Protocol and Marmalade, both hazy offerings.
Okay. What'd you think?
They were solid. You know, I actually was more partial to Protocol because Protocol had... We talk about that white pepper kind of rye spice bite that we like, and it's faint, but we like it in La Juice.
Okay.
Right? And this was kind of similar to that, where, you know, Protocol was like that, but Marmalade was kind of smooth, easy, more of a one note, and if it had more note, it just kind of, you know, tart and sweet, kind of hazy fruit.
Mm-hmm.
But this one had, like, a distinct little bite to it,
okay,
which I personally dug a little more. Yeah, so that was my jam. They were both solid, though.
Cool. What a four pack run you of those?
I don't know,
15.
That was like 17, probably.
Okay.
Like maybe 17, 18 bucks, I think. Yeah. Oh man, the guys at somebody got some lifted from their store, which sounded kind of shitty. I want to say it was like the crew in Downers Grove, the crew that's named after like the Illinois colors, like Orange and Brew. I want to say they posted that, you know, someone stole some of theirs.
Some of their beer?
Yeah, someone stole their Phase 3. At Open Bottle, there was over an hour. There was like an hour.
Whoa.
There was like 75 people in line at the Open Bottle. Bemiscuous said they sold out pretty quick. I happened to be at the Benny's on Grand downtown, the really small Benny's.
Yeah.
They said they got rid of theirs in like 18 minutes flat. They had like four cases. They were done super quick.
Damn, people are going nuts already for it.
A lot of people were blowing through their stash really fast to this stuff. Mm. Yeah. It was good. I mean, I think... You know, they're taking the buzz. I've never seen anything like this, man, where a dude just has a buzz at these breweries, and then he leaves the brewery, and the buzz follows him.
Right.
You know, it's a strange phenomenon, man, but people love it. And, you know, I'm kind of here for it, too. I mean, you know, I like the excitement around it.
No, it's fun. It's weird, right?
Like, it's weird as fuck. So, because I know guys like Crazy Ass Jose. He, you know, he would take a bus out to Schomburg. To go to Ram to get these beers. You know, they had the growler that kind of looks like a genie bottle. Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the beers were always good, like Karma and, you know, whatever else he was pouring out there. Yeah. And I mean, I stood in line about a year ago, like three straight days at Moore for Chicago Craft Beer Week, getting all the
Hennas.
All the Henna releases. I mean, they're good. So that's, it all starts there. Like, yeah. These beers are fucking good. And then, but yeah, even like with this FOBAB stuff, like when he won FOBAB 2 years ago now, you know, Moore was open for what, like 6 months?
Yeah.
When that happened, you know, it's just a strange phenomenon.
Yeah. So you already have to figure FOBAB or whatever festival might happen or wherever he's at during Chicago Illinois Craft Beer Week, there's gonna be a line for his stuff.
Yeah.
And 90% of people haven't even had it, right? Or even have heard of this yet.
Yeah. So I wonder what's next from them. Yeah, and like where they were, because I think they're brewing up in like Lake Zurich or something, right?
Okay.
So instead of having you wait in line at Ramberg Sham or more, you know, Ramberg Sham. Mm. Instead of, it's the exact opposite. Now they're just kind of, they're taking the distro route and, you know, sharing the love at these other spots the other where spots. You're probably going to like, you're kind of drop some coin on some other stuff too while you're waiting on their stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Cool.
So fun stuff, man. So yeah. So He Has Risen and then the Phase 3 stuff.
Nice.
Yeah. Fun week. Fun weekend for Chicago beer, man. Shout out to Lagunitas, man. I picked up some of that Where's Waldo?
Mm-hmm.
That's like the original 420 drop was Where's Waldo.
Right, yeah.
11.7% triple IPA from the good folks at Lagunitas. It was money.
That beer knocks you on your ass.
Dude, it was like, it kind of blurs the line, right? Because it's like, it's a hoppy barley wine at that point. It's a 12% IVA, you know, but it's nice. It might have been my favorite thing I drank this weekend, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. Comes in a nice little, got the little purple top on it, got the little purple and white.
Yeah, label. I remember drinking that. Last time I think I remember having it was at the beer classic, the Chicago Beer Classic at Soldier Field. Like they had a little VIP tent area, Lagunitas sponsored, and they were pouring that beer. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of partial to them. I've had some good times at that brewery, man, mm-hmm. out in, 18th and Western.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy getting it, because that's my first Lagunitas in months. Well, since we had the Willitized coffee stout.
Yeah, I haven't, it's weird, I haven't even thought of Lagunitas until I saw you post that photo, yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, Lagunitas.
Right here in Chicago. Right here in Chicago, it's a massive, like, 700, back-to-back 50 barrel fermenters. I got to get my words right, man. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they got, did they get lost in the haze craze? Because they were, their beers were already like that juicy, dank, fresh hop kind of thing.
Dank as fuck for sure. The West Coast IPA at 6%.
But it was bitter and kind of maybe harsh on your palate to some people.
Yeah.
But then haze happened.
Big arrow, that West Coast style is like, big aromatics with like a nice booze kick, right? Mm-hmm. And not afraid to have a bitter finish. Like that was the West Coast style. And they were right there at the front of that. But yeah, to your point, like a little something, 7.5%, cloudy. And that's been around for since as long as I've been in beer, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, they were kind of ahead of the curve.
All right. But they just haven't had anything new, right? And that's maybe hurting them in the beer nerd world.
They stick to the script. I noticed that this is under there because they do have this moniker about the one hitter series. And initially it was like the Bombers were going to be the one hitter series and it would be like Chicagoland only kind of thing.
Okay.
But this is under that series now. And then I think a lot of their drops that happen under the one hitter kind of fall flat as far as like, well, I mean, I'm not saying fall flat is how way they taste, but just as like, man, are we getting around them? Is there a momentum around them? Do we know about them? I don't know. I mean, right, we just don't know about them.
Yeah. And so many of their beers are still in bottles, right? I know there's the purple one that's in cans.
The 12th of Never is their only canned beer as far as I know.
Right. So that's got to be hurting them too at this point. Like, we're drinking this He Has Risen in a bottle, and it was a special release, so that's whatever. Most of the time, it's cans, and if it's not cans
on this show, 8 out of 10, yeah, it's probably cans.
You're questioning picking up a bottle at this point, even a 6-pack bottle.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Fair. Even Monster's 22 years old now, even they went to cans.
Yeah.
Right.
Come on, Lagunitas. It also seems like the image of them lends itself to cans very well. Like, yeah, just who Lagunitas is, they should have cans, right?
You would think.
Eh.
That Waldo is money. I think I got it twice this weekend.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, shout out to Hopewell. I think last week when I left the show, I made my way to Hopewell.
Okay.
And then, they had their offering from Uppers and Downers on, which I want to say was like a sour coffee ale. And then they had the Clover Leaf, which was a straight up raspberry. It was a raspberry with gin botanicals, and it was also a wild ale.
Oh.
So I was like, well, which one should I get? Because I didn't get that at Uppers and Downers.
Yeah.
And she said, with no hesitation, you got to get the Clover Club. So I got that. Fantastic. Kettle Sour Saison with gin botanicals and raspberries.
Oh, okay.
And then I got the IPA.
Yeah, they always have some interesting kettle sour on.
Yeah.
I don't mind kettle sours. I just haven't been in the mood for sour beers in a long time.
I definitely like to mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know what we drank last week, but I was like, give me the sour.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like their sour. And
I forget, and we just posted that.
Yeah, what did we drink last week on the show? Oh, we drank the White Van.
Oh, yeah.
I drank White Van. Cool label. But then, theirs and Rev's, the Press, Freedom of Press series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think sometimes, it was, like initially, kettle sours, like you just picked up on cereal graininess in all of them. I was like, I don't like this shit.
Yeah.
But I think the Hopewell one and the Rev one, I mean, I enjoy those quite a bit.
Yeah, you're getting more of the fruit in there.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. All right. That's a pretty solid week there. Anything stand out? Best thing you drank?
Man, what's the best thing I drank this week, man?
I'm gonna have to look. I gotta look back too.
Protocol was really good. I thought Waldo was my favorite thing. That's the first thing that comes to mind was that Waldo. I really enjoyed Waldo.
Okay. Oh, man.
It's like seeing an old friend, man. It's like seeing a friend from college, man.
Yeah.
Like, where you been, man? Like, dude, I work in Douglas Park now.
I don't even know. I want to say, I feel like it could be this Orange Haze that might be the...
Orange Haze is a close second for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because is it six packs?
Yeah, six packs. It was that Smoking Daisy.
Smoking Daisy.
That was just so easy to drink. Yeah. It was nice.
I took my kid to, I want to say Odyssey Fun World, but it was like Hollywood Park. It's just an indoor park, okay. Right? Hated every minute of it. The pizza sucked. All they got is fucking Modelo on tap, right? And these bullshit margaritas, you know, and indoor bumper cars, right? You know, fucking kids and moms everywhere, you know, and, you know, this shit sucked. But I smuggled in the last four of the Orange Haze.
Okay.
And it mellowed me right the fuck out. I was able to be a dad. So, with no reservations. So, Orange Haze is ranking high, man. I go 1A and 1B.
Okay.
Orange Haze was rather clutch for me this week.
Right, sounds good. All right. So, then, coming up this week, really we have like a more of a month preview. Some things that are like... stuff that's coming up. Bill and My Craft Beer Week's happening. Tickets are already sold out for a lot of these things, but
yeah, that's impressive.
You might be able to hop on Craigslist or one of the other sites and find some.
Yeah, because the first time, my first FOBAB, it was sold out in a secondary market. Met him at Beer Bistro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Illinois Craft Beer Week, man. You know, Maplewood and Saint Laurent have a beer for this party. This is May 13th.
Right. Okay.
And we'll probably circle back.
Of course. We'll do probably a full Illinois Craft Beer Week preview.
I wanted to spotlight Maplewood because I love the Maple Room or their lounge, right? The Maplewood Lounge. Oh, but then the first 100 people get a specialty glass. And when I went for the anniversary party, there was this serious, like, pimp fucking chalice. It was like a globe. It was a globe wine glass with a gold rim. It was just it's stellar. And it kind of had what am I trying to say? It almost looks like window panes in the glass.
Oh, like stained glass?
No.
Okay. Frosted?
We'll come back to it. Right. It's a very nice glass, so I would encourage everyone to get this glass. I think I'm going to be at that. Yeah. Beer in the Glass. The general admission tickets are all sold out. This is the opening ceremony, of course. This is year 10 of Beer in the Glass.
Oof.
And the VIP tickets are all that's left, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, during Illinois Craft Beer Week, Alarmist is going to have a can release of new, I think it was a Citra Le Juice.
They're doing a variant of Le Juice.
Le Juice variant.
Yeah, I want to say it was like DDH Citra. I think you're right. I'm here for that, man.
Right, because Le Juice released last in cans for the first time, last Illinois Craft Beer Week.
I didn't know that.
I went up there.
DDH Citra, 6%.
Yeah, I went up there for the release. I got a glass. Picked up a 4-pack when that came out. So, crazy. 1-year anniversary.
Yeah, man. And cheers to them because they just celebrated.
2 years at the tap room.
Right on. You want to get in on this Risen?
You can go for it. All right, add some more. Nice. And then what else? What else we got? Illinois Craft Beer Week? Or right after is...
Not a lot of folks are announcing their events just yet. But, you know... a tradition like no other down in Munster, Indiana, and I think we're both going to be at this.
Uh-huh.
Three Floyds, Dark Lord Day, the only day of the year you can purchase the Dark Lord. You can worship at the altar of the Dark Lord. Now, we talked about it last year. It was the same weekend as the Moore release and as Beer in a Glass.
Yeah.
The most aggressive weekend of my life. It was intense, man. It was intense, dude. I was walking around Bug, and I think I saw somebody, and they were like, go somewhere quiet. It's Beer in the Glass. I'm really bugging out at Bug because of this thing. But yeah, Dark Lord Day, man.
What'd you say, 50 breweries showing up?
I think like 50 guest brewers. Of course, a whole lot of metal. And variants on tap. Well, last year there were variants on tap for the first time ever.
Really? There wasn't ever before?
No. I mean, like, you could get them all on tap, all outside.
Oh, because they were in the tap or restaurant or whatever.
Yeah. And then, like, and when they closed the pub, I think they started doing, like, when they did everything outside, all of them weren't on tap. And when you went inside, There were like very few variants back then, right?
Okay.
And now there's like last year, I want to say there's like, it could be like seven or plus variants.
That's too much. Yeah. Too many.
Too many. You know, I just remember having like a full wine glass, getting a double pour of chemtrail, just cruising that bitch.
Okay. Yeah.
Darkler days here, man. Yeah. Now, this beer always like, what's the word? Like, Dark Lord is what it is, right? It's an imperial stout with like Mexican dessert sugar and dark matter coffee, right? The party and the bottle share always supersede the actual beer. Like the beer is kind of an afterthought.
Yeah.
This thing, right.
So I have not been to Dark Lord Day since the first year they started with the groupings. That was the last time I was there. No. I might have went one time after that, and I didn't have a ticket, and I just went. But the last time I bought...
Because you're Brad Chmielewski. You're just like, hey, I'm going.
I just hung out.
Okay.
So, and then the last time I bought it was the first year they introduced the AB grouping.
Oh.
Or C, D, whatever. Like, what happens now? Do people still wait in line?
It's... Yeah. It's a love-hate relationship with Floyd's. You know, like... Like, all right, so... Like, I would be upset if I couldn't go, but then when I go, there's things that I might not like about it.
Okay.
You know, you don't like everything about Dark Lord Day, but then you kind of want to be there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's part of it because, like, it Floyd's has always been there with you, right? Like, right? Like, they've always, you know, it's always been, like, a brewery that you can count on. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Over the years. Huh. So.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see.
Our tickets, are they sold out?
Yeah. Dark Lord Day tickets are done.
Oh, man. You could just show up and hang out in the park across the street. Right? Isn't it?
Across the street.
Right? If you like, make your own mini Dark Lord Day there.
I'm here for that Hangi, that BA vanilla.
In the park?
I'm here for that marshmallow Hangi in the park. For everyone that's listening, I'm the bald dude with the gray beard, man. barrel-aged vanilla bean Dark Lord, man, never fails.
Okay.
Yeah, and they always, you know, I'm curious to see. They haven't released variants yet, so I'm curious.
Right.
Curious to see what's going on, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's May 19th, Dark Lord Day. Nice. And then later, is Ultra Fresh in May or is that June?
I want to say it's June 29th.
June 29th. Also, yeah, man. Cheers not to, during Illinois Craft Beer Week this time.
No. I'm kind of surprised because that's always... It's always
like
a highlight.
Like really. A midweek kind of thing. So, hop review, guys. Ultra Fresh 2019, 629.
Yeah, and they're moving it because they got their own space now.
Mm-hmm. Now it's over not too far from District Brew Yards and On Tour and everyone else in the brewing district. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so they're, they got their own space. We said that this is Ultra Fresh 4. Yeah, so all beer is packaged within 5 days of the party. That's yeah, cool. And that's West Town. They're calling that West Town.
Yeah.
We should get them on and see what they've been up to, man.
For Ultra Fresh? Yeah. I think we had them on a little preview prior.
Yeah, June 29th.
Right.
Ultra Fresh. Ultra Fresh is a good party. Like, I know I missed last year, but I went 2 years ago, and it was always at... Right Way Signs, which is like Fullerton and like Damon. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like Right Way Signs kind of sat at the end of like a dead end block, but then the block ended because the highway was right there. So you got this really cool scene of like, you know, this block party at the end of the block with the expressway behind you, and then they've got their building. So, and then Right Way Signs is like drawing all this really cool stuff on the wall. It was a cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see what they do this year. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be neat.
I like to hop with you guys, man.
For sure, yeah.
We'll
get them on the talk. We still have to figure out dates for our interviews with Old Irving.
Yeah, what are we doing, Brad?
And Cruz Blanca.
We got to go to Cruz Blanca.
And the District Brew Yard, epic 35 people. I don't know. What is it like? At least 10.
At least 10. I think we're breaking the record on that one, man. One more thing, man. May Festiversary, which is the Beguile and Dovetail Party.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Just like the Oktoberfest party.
Okay.
But lots of beer, music, food, games.
I want to say it's their anniversary. It's like, I think it's Dovetail's anniversary, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's both of their anniversary, but they just kind of combine it and kind of make it a party.
Yeah. Of course, their neighbors right there on Malt Row.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They usually block off. Sometimes there's skee ball that they pull out their skee ball machines and put them in the alleys. Like I said, there's bands, food trucks. The empanada cart is always there because it's at, Beguile at least once a week. You can usually count on that.
Yeah, you'll see three-legged tacos there. This is May 25th and May 26th.
Okay.
I went to something over there, man, over the summer, and it was like a full-on block party.
It might have been that.
And they,
unless it was the Oktoberfest party.
No, this was summertime. They partied down. They partied down over there. They enjoy themselves over there.
Nice. Cool. So those are all the events we have for you coming up right now. Definitely always can releases, beer releases happening at all kinds of breweries around town, so check those out. The only bit of beer news before I get out of here is Weybacher.
Weybacher?
In Pittsburgh.
What's that? They are now Dunn's.
They have, I believe it was last year, they had sold a bunch of their equipment or sold a majority stake, and now they are completely shutting down.
Right on. I'm not familiar with Weybacher.
Yeah, they had some good like barley wines and like quads a long time ago, but I don't know if they ever came to the Chicagoland market. But
no,
another one bites dust.
You know, give me a quad any day, man. I can Rochefort. You know, it was one of the first beers that really kind of got me into what was going on.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, so that sucks. It sucks to hear people losing their jobs. You know, people shutting it down. That kind of sucks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, man, Ballast Point, they had plans. Two facilities closed down. There's a brewing facility in Southern California and then a brew pub in San Francisco.
Well, you've been talking crap about the Chicago one.
They were a very good host to us, right? And their space is nice and their food is delicious. Their beer is good, right? Like, yeah. And then, you know, the whole idea of, like, you know, the menu where you know, off the menu items where you just mix all these different sculpins and they have these cool names. Like, there's a subculture there. You know, we dug that, right? And it's next to the Publican, right? You know. But they didn't have guest drafts, so that was kind of concerning. I was just like, are you being a good neighbor, you know? Around these parts, on the surface at least, all these breweries are like, you know, pretty good neighbors. Like, you'll be like, yeah, Cruz Blanca's like, oh, hey, Marcus, you don't have a bottling line. Don't worry about it. We'll bottle your beer.
Right.
And you hear about these guys, you know, sharing ingredients and collaborations and, you know, all this kind of shit, right? So it was a bit alarming. I'm like, man, 100 fucking sculpins, no fucking guests? Like, what the fuck? Right? Oh, but that's not the story. They closed two facilities, man. You know what was kind of disturbing about this, man, is that they said Constellation Brands, which is based in Chicago, right? They had to write off on their year-end statement. They had to write off $108 million as an impairment charge, right?
Impairment charge,
right? So it's this term they made up to essentially say, hey, you know, we overpaid for this
for the brewery.
We overpaid for Ballast Point when we bought them a few years ago for $1 billion.
Well, that sucks for you. Too bad.
Yeah. So
make up some term.
That's
investors to like
$108 million impairment charge for brewery trademarks and essentials.
We thought they were better than they were. That's
they were not who we thought they were.
That's like what anyone who's been divorced is like. That person changed. Like, I was like, what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Constellation Brands.
Yeah, man. Wow. They sold for a bit. Now, they were a homebrew shop that, you know, started the brewery.
Yeah.
And then they also kind of like, they got into spirits too, right? So they're making beer and spirits in Southern California. And Constellation Brands showed up and said, hey, here's $1 billion. What do you say?
Yeah. How much did Constellation Brands give Lagunitas?
No,
Heineken.
It was the same, actually, but it was staggered. So the initial deal was, hey, we sold half our company for $500 million.
Okay.
And then a couple years later, they came back and said, oh, yeah, we sold the other half.
Yeah, well, now Constellation Brands on that weed money. So they're all in that cannabis beer. So
yeah.
They should have went with Lagunitas and, you know, combined forces there.
Yeah. So there's that, man.
People are shutting down. Yikes. All right. We should get out of here before we get shut down. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at B-Rat. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are there. Beer reviews on YouTube. I think we're going to have some Mango Lassi going up there soon.
Right on.
Look for that. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.